30 minutes, and then, of course, we'll get a player. And as it turns out, we got a pretty good one today, Wes. We get the guy that directed the show yesterday, number two, Matt Ryan, will join us at 3:30.
I'd say it's a pretty good draw to get our first show underway. Coach Smith here in just a moment. Some tough news out of Flowery Branch. About an hour ago, Coach announced that Brent Grimes is going to be placed on injured reserve with an Achilles injury, and that means the former Pro Bowl cornerback will miss the remainder of the 2012 campaign. It also puts some interesting symmetry, if you will, on the Asante Samuel acquisition and the fact that Atlanta had gotten some comfortable in the nickel. And Dave, we didn't quite get to this yesterday on the broadcast. The roster transition of the last week or so, where Dominique Franks came back, some thought maybe at the time special teams. Now, all of a sudden, his value in the secondary certainly goes up, along with Christopher Owens and some others.
Absolutely, Wes. That's a great call. And obviously, a bit of a blessing in disguise that you didn't lose Dominique Franks to someone else, because he did go work out for a couple other clubs. And as it turned out, Atlanta was able to resecure his services, and he played on special teams yesterday. But now, in light of the injury to Brent Grimes, you wonder how this shuffles things. Does Dante Robinson come back into the starting lineup and become a corner? Does Chris Owens start at corner? Dante stays. I would imagine Dante will stay on the inside in the nickel package because he's a bigger player and probably makes more sense with him in the middle. And we saw a number of plays yesterday, the sub package, where we had two linebackers and five DBs on the field anyway.
A couple of interesting comments from Coach Smith's notes with the media here about a half hour or so ago. One is that the base package defensively, meaning Akeem Dent on the field at middle linebacker, only had 11 snaps yesterday. To that effect, is the base package now maybe the nickel and not what we call the base? So we'll talk about that with Coach.
Yeah, certainly the base, when you have a team that wants to play three and four wide receivers all the time, that base becomes a nickel package with two linebackers in the game, certainly with Kansas City and the way they wanted to play yesterday with McCluster in the slot. And we're now joined by head coach Mike Smith. Smitty, nice win. Congratulations.
Well, thank you, Dave. It was a fun day in Kansas City because we got the W, and a really good second half for our entire football game, football team. The first half was real good for the offense and special teams. We had to make some adjustments there at halftime on the defensive side, but I thought we took the ball away there in the third quarter, and that really blew the game open.
Mike, one of the things that that I talked about yesterday at the top of the broadcast, and it's a credit to you and everybody in the organization, but particularly the coaches and players, is that you made changes in the offseason on the offensive side and the defensive side in respect to your coordinators. And yet, going into the game yesterday, it's like everybody had been together a long time. And I don't know if there's a secret to that. I don't know if it was just good communication, good veteran leadership, those kinds of things. But I was really impressed with everybody being on the same page to go in the 2012 season. And yesterday it paid off for you. The adjustments, it sounds like you made at halftime. If everybody's not on the same page, those adjustments are not as easy to make. Offensively, needless to say, it went well yesterday. I mean, can you speak to a little bit about the symmetry of where you had with these coordinators?
Well, the first game, whether it's new coordinators or the staff that's been together, there's always the unknown. You don't know what you're going to be facing, unscouted looks. But when you have new coordinators, it is a little bit different. And I thought the operation was very good. There were just a couple of instances on the sideline where there were some communication issues. But for the most part, it went about as clean as it could possibly go. Players did a great job in their communication on the sideline with the new offensive line coach. I thought we made some adjustments in terms of our pass protection and our pickups, and we did a very good job.
Yeah, Smitty, I think that there was so much focus made on the periphery outside the building on your offensive line and your linebackers. I think everybody wanted to talk about those two crews, and obviously the offensive line, as you talked about, played extremely well in the preseason. They carried that over into this game. And your linebacker core, and I know you challenged them at halftime, challenged them to step up a little bit because you didn't feel like maybe there was as much energy as you wanted to see out there, and they certainly responded in the second half for you.
They did. And really, they talked to themselves as well. They knew that on the defensive side of the ball, they didn't play up to the caliber that they're capable of playing through the first 30 minutes of the ball game. We weren't winning the line of scrimmage. We weren't knocking the line of scrimmage back. And there in the third quarter, there was a stretch where I think we had 7 tackle for losses in the third quarter, and the 3 turnovers, and the 3 turnovers were huge. The first one that kind of got it rolling was the strip sack by John Abraham, and then William gets his interception, and so does Steven Nicholas. And when you can create turnovers and give the ball to the offense, and especially the way our offense was operating yesterday, you're going to get an opportunity to score some points.
Well, and obviously one of the more difficult environments in the National Football League yesterday in Kansas City. I mean, you're going to open with a road win. That's a pretty good one to start the campaign with.
Yeah, getting road wins are tough. They're not easy. Kansas City is historically one of the toughest places to play. The communication issues that you have with the crowd noise always come into play, and I thought our guys handled it very well yesterday. Matt had a real good feel of what we were trying to get done.
Smitty, obviously never fun any time to have to talk about someone getting injured. And you made the announcement in your press conference just a few moments ago. For those of you who didn't hear, Brett Grimes injured his Achilles tendon, will be lost for the season, is on injured reserve. This is a situation, and you talk about this all the time, Smitty, where it's an opportunity for somebody else to step up. It's next man up. Who might be some of those guys you're looking at to step up?
Well, first I want to say, Brent Grimes has been an integral part of the success that we've had the last 4 years, and it's such a great story, to come from Shippensburg State and plan to be a Pro Bowl player. He's a guy that's made a lot of plays for us, and we're going to miss him. But there's going to be an opportunity for some of the other guys in the secondary to play. Christopher Owens will have an opportunity. Now, in terms of how we distribute those guys in our nickel package or in a sub package, is yet to be determined. But we've got some flexibility. Robert McClain and Dom Franks, those are the candidates right now that would have to step up into that role. And we've also have the possibility of making a roster move. Mm-hmm. I don't think it would be someone at the caliber of the 3 guys that I just mentioned, but you've got to look at all the options that are available to us. And Thomas and his staff, I know, have a short list in place, and we've just got to go to work. And it starts tomorrow. We'll go out and work against each other, work on some corrections, not start game planning until Thursday for our Monday night game.
This is a veteran. You get some young veterans in the building, and I know you lean on them significantly, Smitty, in times like these. I mean, and this is I think that the fan gets a little caught off guard. This is a battle of attrition, 16 of these things, and trying to keep everybody healthy is very difficult to do. How much do you have to – do you talk to the players at all about making sure that this isn't deflating to them? Because this is a big play. You just mentioned how important Brent is to this football team. Or do you let them handle it, understanding that they know that this is part of the business?
Oh, they know it's part of the business. It's something that every team is going to deal with, some more so than others. And we tell them from the very beginning of the season that everybody has a defined role on our football team, especially when you get to the 53-man roster. But those roles are changing every day, and you've got to be prepared to have your role increase, and it possibly could, it possibly could decrease by the way that you play on the field. And I know that the guys, when we come together on Wednesday and we have our game plan together, we're going to put the best, the best 11 out there that give us the best chance to win.
We were mentioning guys and the possibility of trying to fill that role. You mentioned Dominique Franks, and I got to tell you, we were touching on this in the early stages here. It's interesting. Here's a young guy who originally wasn't on the 53, now has been kind of brought back and then services not only the secondary situation, but also showed you some real special team positives, I think, in the preseason as well.
Yes, and that was in a situation where Dom was not on the team for a short period of time.
48 hours, 72 hours, something like that, yeah.
Yes, and again, the dynamics of a roster are so fluid as you cut down to 53. Mm-hmm. It's very fluid. And Dom, because of an injury, had an opportunity to come back, and now he's here in the building. his role is going to expand again. And that's what the season is all about. Believe it or not, it's about defined roles and understanding that those roles can change every single day. And I think our guys have a real good understanding of it and know that they are going to be counted on to play at the same level the guy that they're replacing.
Smitty, you got a real shot in the arm yesterday from your special teams. And you talk all the time about how it's a three-phase game, and I think a lot of coaches do, and sometimes that falls on deaf ears. But I think for those that are inside the game and truly are trying to game plan and get ready, coaches understand that that is a big part. And you had a good return with Quiz. You got really blocked extremely well. Quiz found the crack. But you also got some really good kicking. I mean, the one time that Bosher had to punt it, he hammered it, and he kicked the ball in a good situation to cover as well.
Yes, I thought that we definitely won that phase of the ball game yesterday as well. Our drive starts were outstanding. We had 9 kickoffs. 4 of them were not returned, so Matt was kicking the ball extremely well. And then the 5 that were returned, the average drive start was the 20-yard line. So we had some guys running and covering kicks on kickoff cover. And the drive start is very important. If you can get them to have to go 80 or more for a touchdown, it enhances your chances of not giving up points. And we did a very good job. And then Quiz had a great return on the 77-yard return. It was blocked extremely well. He's got great vision. He found a butt to run off, and that's what we're looking for on the return game. Is you want to find your own color jersey, and you want to run off of that. He did a real nice job. Matt Bryant 4 for 4 on field goals and 4 for 4 on extra points, and our young long snapper got his baptism yesterday as well, and I thought he handled extremely well. He had a tackle on the one punt that we had. He was the guy that was downfield making the tackle, so he showed up on the stat sheet.
That's
a big deal for a long snapper in his first NFL game.
All right, real quick before we go to break, I know you don't intentionally ask Quiz to juggle it, but when he juggled it, did it kind of help set the charges a little bit on a 77-yard return?
I don't know that it helped. I know this. When he came over, I said, hey, that's a great return, Quez. I said, but let's make sure we catch it a little bit cleaner next time. You know, it was a funky spin on the ball.
Yeah.
It wasn't a real clean spin, so he kind of juggled it and all that. But I don't know if anybody, you know, stuttered their feet that was on the cover team or not. But I know this. We blocked it up extremely well. We got the double team block on the guy that we wanted, and we had a trap block, and he had the peripheral vision to hit it, and 77 yards later, we're lining up first and 10 around the 20-yard line.
There you
23
go.
Or 24.
Right out of the movie Major League, when Willie Mays Hayes makes the basket catch, he comes to the city, says, his manager says, hey, kid, great catch. Don't ever do it again.
Falcons coach Mike Smith with us here in the first half hour. Stay tuned. There's plenty more to go. Don't forget, football fans, Pizza Hut's $10 deal is back and perfect for tonight's Monday night doubleheader. Get any pizza, any size, with any toppings when you order out only from Pizza Hut. Stay tuned. More from Flowery Branch right after this.
Why is that funny?
It was just good. You hit it right there.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. It's always comical for us to do the read. I can't wait for him to blow one. Now, it hadn't happened in 9 years, but he's going to blow one, and I'm going to be there waiting on him.
Back with Coach Mike Smith, and then Matt Ryan joins us.
Thank you for Verizon, by the way.
Absolutely. Joins us at the bottom of the hour in our players segment here today, brought to you by Buckhead Beef. Smitty, the beauty of the league, win, lose, or draw, there's somebody else waiting the next week. You know, I mean, and here is Denver. Fresh off, by the way, I thought the quarterback missed all of last year, right?
Yeah, he looks like he missed about 20 minutes. that's how he played last night.
God, he was unbelievable. Yeah,
he was on fire. And Peyton Manning is the guy that basically got this no huddle scheme going.
Yeah.
Now everybody's running some form of it. He's the best at it. And I think when they went into that no huddle, they were probably a lot more efficient and more effective in their no huddle scheme than anything last night in the ball game. I haven't watched it all the way through. Caught the last half of it when I got home watching on TV.
Well, now you were in the AFC South for a few years now with Indianapolis when you were at Jacksonville. I mean, you know this guy is doing it off the hook. I mean, he comes to the line, and it could be one thing, and it could end up two or three other things by the time it's snapped, right?
Yeah, Wes, it's not an either-or when he comes up to the line of scrimmage. It's the whole playbook.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he does a great job of formationing you and putting you in the right formation. It's not real complicated in terms of what they do formationally. But once he gets you in that formation, and if you tell him or send him, as I would tell our guys in Jacksonville, if you're sending him an email, and now it's probably if you're sending him a text of what coverage you're playing by where you're lined up, he's going to know where to go with the football.
Mm-hmm.
And he's, you know, he has a very good understanding, so it's going to be very important for us defensively to be on top of our game. Ten times playing him, you've seen it all, and
yeah.
he can spin it. And watching on TV last night, just on TV, he was spinning the ball last night and operating like he hadn't missed a game. And I know he missed an entire season, but he didn't show that last night.
Yeah, and the impressive thing is he's learned an entire different lingo. I mean, they're doing a lot of the same things he's done before, but he had to change terminology, which can be different. I've had the opportunity to do that.
A few times, Dave.
That's not easy to do. I wanted to throw you on the other side of the ball here, Smitty, and a question I've gotten here just in the last 12 hours or so as you start turning your sights to Denver. Is the familiarity between Dirk Koetter and Del Rio
and Jack? Well,
Jack, yep. Being the defense coordinator, does that play into this thing at all?
Oh, I think it definitely does. Jack and Dirk worked together for 4 years there in Jacksonville, so they worked against each other in the off season and schemed against one another. John Fox, who is the head coach there, and Jack work together there in Carolina.
Yeah,
they'll have their guys ready in terms of what they want to do. So there'll be some familiarity, and we'll have to make sure that we're on top of what we want to get done offensively. Simply because Jack has a long history with Dirk in terms of what he wants to do in situational football. So that's the great thing about game planning and going through the process.
I thought there was a number of times it looked like Kansas City was caught off guard by some of the things you guys tried to do, and I know that's part of the game planning deal. How much of the self-scout is part of that? When you kind of showed stuff in the preseason and you completely went against what you'd been showing, and that maybe benefits you now in week two going against the defensive coordinator that might be familiar with your offensive coordinator.
Yeah, it's the old chess game that you're playing. You see the most unscouted looks in week one and week two.
Mm.
You do things in the preseason, and we talk about the preseason during the preseason.
Right.
After it's over, you don't talk about it a whole lot. But we can talk about it here week one and week two. Every team has a different approach how they're going to handle things. In terms of there's certain things that they want to work on.
Right.
It may be there's certain things that they don't want to show. There's going to be certain things that there's no way that they're going to run it, but they're going to show it. So there's a lot of gamesmanship that goes on in the preseason. And sometimes it takes a life of its own, like the Wildcat in New York.
Right.
You know?
Yeah,
it takes a life of its own. But that's part of building your football team, and you do it differently each and every year. Believe me, we're doing it a lot different in year five than we were doing it in year one, simply because of the maturation process of, number one, our quarterback and the players that we have around him now.
Let me add, in terms of NFL trends, and I know we talk about the copycat league concept and the reality of it or the fantasy of it, so to speak, how much of it is now formations, or how much of it is the exclusive personnel matchups you find the week before, and then when you play them in the – because to me it becomes now about matching personnel as much as it becomes about whatever they line up in, right?
It's definitely changing where it's matching personnel.
Okay.
It's not necessarily scheme. I think the teams that are doing it the best are the teams that realize, okay, I've got player X, Y, and Z. This is what they do well.
Mm.
So we want to design our plays to let player X – run these certain routes, and player Y to do this, and player Z to do that. And then you look at player A, B, C, and D on the defense, and you decide, do I want to put X on A, Z on B?
Right.
So it becomes algebra.
Who knew? Who knew?
See, kids, see, make sure that you go to math class and pay attention.
Exactly.
It becomes algebra. People get so caught up talking about Denver offensively, Coach, and here in our last couple minutes, defensively, there's a lot of young guys on that team. There are a lot of speed on that team, particularly guys like Wesley Woodyard. They've got Danny Trevathan out of Kentucky on that roster. They've got a veteran guy in a Brooking.
Woodyard's out of Kentucky as well.
Woodyard's out of Kentucky. They've got some young guys. Malik Jackson from Tennessee, small, fast, athletic guys appear to be the Del Rio ammo, so to speak.
Yes. You didn't mention those two guys that can really rush.
We're
going to
let you talk about those.
Let you have those guys.
Yeah, you teed that
up. You're talking about Von Miller and Dumervil? Those cats.
Yeah, those two guys.
They both wear glasses, ironically. Yeah. Like, they're very nice, studious young people, right?
Boy, except when you – I think if your number's between 1 and 19, which I think that's what quarterbacks have to wear, I think they have a little different attitude. They've done a very nice job rushing the passer. And they come at you – full speed, and they're very athletic. They understand leverage. Dumervil is probably the best in terms of leverage. He can get underneath the bigger guys. And Von Miller came, I think he was the fourth pick in the draft, or a very, very high draft pick. And he has come in and exploded on the scene because of his athleticism and his ability to rush the passer. So it's going to be a completely different makeup in terms of our preparation this week because, one, it's a different team, and, two, I think this team that we're getting ready to face has got some really fast players on the defensive side of the football.
Yeah, and real quickly, one of the acquisitions nobody talked about, and he came up big last night, was Tracy Porter, a guy that they put in a corner. They got from New Orleans to play on the other side of the old graybeard guy that keeps making plays. But that was a huge impact as well.
Yeah, we're familiar with Tracy having to compete against him when he was down there in New Orleans. But it ought to be a fun night. I want to encourage everybody to start having those positive thoughts all week long. Let's get that positive energy going, and let's have it ramped up in the Dome next Monday night. It ought to be an electric building. And when it's an electric building, I know one thing, our guys seem to play a lot better than when it's not as noisy.
I think you can count on the big building now.
Yep, but I think it'll be
this place delivers. This place delivers on stages like that, seemingly.
Yes.
So, thanks as always, Smitty. Appreciate it.
All right, guys.
Good win, Smith.
Falcon head coach Mike Smith with Dave Archer and myself. Stay tuned. Matt Ryan in the Buckhead Beef Players segment coming up next. That's our SunTrust Bank defensive solid play of the game. SunTrust helps you stay in control of your money. SunTrust, live solid, bank solid with Dave Archer at Flowery Branch, West Durham. The Falcon Coaches Show continues. Matt Ryan is our player guest, courtesy of Buckhead Beef. Matt will get a Buckhead Beef gift certificate so he can enjoy the freshest, finest, most tender steaks, chops, and more when Arch and I come over to eat from Atlanta's own Buckhead Beef. It's the best there is, and he definitely deserves it. Nice way to start the season, huh?
Yeah, good start for us, absolutely. I think, it was just exactly how you wanted to get it going on offense. I think we started out with a 12-play 80-yard drive on the first drive, and that really set the tempo for the day.
Matt, you guys, you hit the ground running, and you talk about the drive, but it just was a continuation of what you'd been in the preseason. I talked to you about this after the game. There's an air about you guys as an offense that it doesn't really matter what else is going on anywhere else, whether it's your defense or in another building. You guys are just going to go score points.
Yeah, that's the way we have to approach it, and I think we've got guys who are playing with a lot of confidence. On the outside, our wide receivers, Julio and Roddy and Harry, they feel like every time they line up, there's a chance they're going to get the ball and there's a chance they could break it for a big play. And that's fun to be a part of that.
You start looking at the tempo of the game yesterday. Rarely do you see shootouts go, like, right out of the gate. But it was a shootout. I mean, it was back and forth and back. It had kind of that, mid-season feel to it. And then all of a sudden in the second half, turnovers, the defense played great. You guys, it was almost like each unit was matching each other's momentum I mean, and it kind of gave it that team win feel, if you know what I mean.
Absolutely. You know, early on, we were moving the ball pretty effectively offensively, and they were too. I mean, they have some talented guys on that offense, guys that can make a lot of plays. And we win it at halftime, and I think, you know, defensively made some great adjustments. They get the stop on the first one, missed field goal. We get the ball back, go and score.
Right.
And then our defense, I mean, just turned it on. Fumble, two INTs in the second half, gave us some really short field opportunities that we didn't take advantage of the way we needed to. We really wanted to. But we were able to put points up and create some separation, and that's what you have to do.
Was it a conscious decision not to throw the back shoulder stuff or the fade stop stuff? Because we didn't really see that much in the preseason. You made the throw against Miami, I guess, a little bit of a back shoulder throw to Roddy for a touchdown. But other than that, I mean, there were a number of plays where you stopped guys with the football. There was a conscious effort to do some of that stuff. Was that something you guys kind of kept in your hip pocket?
Yeah. You know, it just shakes out with the looks that you get when those kind of plays happen. And we had repped it up a ton during the preseason. Just hadn't shown up in a game. But going into that game, you know, it was something we knew there was going to be a possibility for, and we were confident in being able to do it because of the success that we had on the practice field, you know, all of July and August.
Matt Ryan's with us in our Buckhead Beat Player Spotlight this week and the Coaches Show from Flowery Branch with Dave Archer, Wes Durham. When you start, and I've touched on this a handful of times already in the last couple of days, Dave's probably already sick of me talking about how it seems everybody's on the same page given the coordinator change on both sides. Can you take us through your maturation, or you and Dirk talking about how all this happened so cleanly? I mean, did y'all sit down and say, okay, I like to do this, and we've done this, and you've done this, and did y'all kind of compare notes?
Absolutely.
Okay.
You know, I think there was a lot of hard work on both of our parts during the off season.
It was like March meetings, I guess,
off,
or something like
off
that?
Off the field, yeah. I think when we were able to get going, I think in April when we started up working out up here at the facility, he and I, you know, talked a lot about, you know, some of the things that he has a lot of confidence in, and then also some of the things that our guys are capable of doing and what I feel comfortable with. And we talked about that constantly and still do. But, you know, I give him a lot of credit in coming in and listening. You know, and taking some of the things that I said and doing them, and then also giving his opinion on certain things and pushing us in certain directions that he felt like we were capable of going. And, you know, it takes a special coach to be able to do that.
Yeah.
You made some plays yesterday, and I want to ask you about a couple plays in particular. Three-man line rush. It was in the second half, I believe. You catch Julio on what – ultimately ended up looking like a deep dig, but I think it was just he just was leaning towards the post. But you slid up in the three-man line, and you touched it over the top, you know, instead of rifling it in. It just talked to it, to me, it just kind of begins to continue show the progression of that you're making in your comfort zone and what kind of throws you know you can make and get away with, because that was just a nice little am I wrong about that?
No, that was a 3rd and 12 for us, and that was a key conversion, I think, in momentum for the second half and getting us going. And it ended up being a chunk of, you know, 25, 30 yards, something like that. But, yeah, three-man rush, kind of a two-trap look that they played against us, getting eight guys into coverage. And it was one of those things, Julio got jammed on that release, and it takes time for him to get in there. But if you can just put that ball in the window and trust that he's going to be there at that time, there's a hole there. And that's – you know, it's one of those things, that kind of confidence comes from having played now for a while, understanding that it doesn't always take a laser throw to get it in there, but sometimes you got to use a little touch. And it also comes from having confidence that our guys are going to be in the right spots.
Well, and another one of those plays is the quick play fake where you like to get play fake, draw that out, that onside linebacker, and stick that slant or that quick post in behind, but you had to wait for the second window. And you found him. And talk about a laser. That was one you did put on a laser and put it in.
yeah. That was you know, actually a pretty good defensive play by them.
Yeah.
I mean, the backer did a great job of because we did. We had good run action right at him, and they scouted us pretty well. And you know, but when you got a guy like Julio, you can kind of wait until that next window and just drive it in there, and you know he's going to clear that backer.
Can I ask you about the play you made on the ball after Gonzalez scored the touchdown? All of a sudden, you look like
the little kid running into the street trying to find his ball.
All of a sudden, you look like you're chasing the basketball or the football down the street before it gets in the gutter.
That's probably not the first time I've ever done that.
But I mean, you tried and you almost got him in the end zone early. Then it was almost like there was the mission here. We got to get him in the end zone in Kansas City.
Yeah.
And it seemed that everybody wanted him in the end zone.
Everybody was. You know, first I'll say Tony's one of the best teammates you could possibly have. You know, he's a great guy for the locker room. He's got a connection with everybody on our team, and I think that's the reason why everybody wanted it so bad for him. You know, when he did end up scoring, our other tight ends were so excited. Mike Palmer knocked the ball right out of his hand, you know. So
is that a fine for Palmer?
Definitely a fine. I mean, that's poor etiquette. You got to let the guy celebrate. He's got a patented move.
Poor etiquette.
He's got a patented move that he started right there in Arrowhead, and you got to let him go do that. So I just, you know, I tried to find that ball to give him a chance to go do what he was supposed to do.
This, of course, was on the
heels. And he told him. It wasn't like, here's the ball.
Yeah.
He said, now go dunk it. He pointed at the goal.
Did you make sure to tell him to go dunk it?
Yeah.
Yeah, nice.
I was pretty emphatic with what I said, I think.
And by the way, this came on the heels. Early in your career, it's good to see that you've evolved into the complete spike, because I remember early in the career, Arch, there were some spikes. The one at Minnesota, I remember, was a little disorganized. But yesterday was under complete control. Very, very veteran move on the spike, I thought.
Yeah, yeah. I've been that just kind of popped up. That popped up. I didn't expect to be in the end zone, and so when I got there, I was excited. But it was just fun. I think guys, you know what? Guys should be excited when we score points and when we make plays. It's hard to do in this league, and it's fun to enjoy it.
I don't know what the over-under was on you and Castle both running for touchdowns in that game, but I got to think it was a long odds.
Yeah, I know Matt pretty well. Matt's a great guy, and I didn't want him to one-up me. He spiked his pretty hard.
I wonder if there was a little extra on that one for the spike.
Yeah.
I actually Matt.
He put a pretty good spike down, so I wanted to throw one in there pretty good.
That's good. I like this. Yeah. Boy, it's unbelievable what we're uncovering here on the opening week of the Falcons show. All right, stay tuned. More with Matt Ryan coming up in our Buckhead B Spotlight. We'll get to work on Peyton Manning and the Denver Broncos, his thoughts on the Broncos, who are here a week from tonight for an 8:30 start at the Georgia Dome. With Dave Archer, Wes Durham, and Flowery Branch, our program continues after this.
Ryan in the gun. It's third and goal at the 4. Takes the snap. Matt to his right has room. Pump fake. Score standing for the Atlanta touchdown. And the spike of the football for Ryan.
Take that, Matt Castle.
Call Star NFL to download NFL Mobile now and experience football on Verizon 4G LTE. NFL Mobile is built to bring you to the game.
What do you think? He did right, didn't he?
Yeah, only because I like Matt. That
was good.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
I like the spike. That's the dome spike, by the way. There's different kinds of spikes, but
really?
He came with the domes. That's where you like try to rattle a cage.
Is that right?
Yeah.
That was a hard one.
I did that right in Ronnie Lott's face one time.
I didn't go after that.
Yeah, no
well,
good.
We got our asses kicked.
That sounds about right. Yeah.
Back at Flowery Branch with Dave Archer, Wes Durham. Okay, here comes Denver next Monday. You already said you were able to sneak a little bit of tape. Von Miller, Elvis Dumervil, well, everybody knows the story. But I want to ask you about the other guy, the guy taking snaps and throwing it for them. When did you meet Peyton Manning? Tell me, when did Matt Ryan first interact with Peyton Manning, or has Matt Ryan interacted with Peyton Manning ever?
Yeah, no, the first time Peyton called me when I was in college, my senior year, I won the Manning Award they give out to a college quarterback or whatever, however they pick it, the Sugar Bowl picks it. And so when I won the award, Archie, Eli, Cooper, and Peyton all left me a voicemail.
Wow.
And so the first time I spoke with him, I called him back and, you know, just introduced myself, that kind of stuff. And he was congratulating me on that. But he kind of helped me out a little bit when I came into the league. You know, I played golf with him, had the opportunity to spend a little time with him, pick his brain. Just a little bit. He's a competitor, so he's not going to give away too much. But he's a great guy. He really is. I mean, he's the consummate professional, mm-hmm. and you know, just really, really fun, really funny. and just fun to be around.
So there is that level of respect, but there's also that level of competitiveness where everybody wants to do as well as they can, regardless of whether you're playing each other like you were yesterday with Castle, who you said you get along with. But at the same time, you're trying to get better, too, through, you know, whatever interaction you have.
Absolutely. You know, and I think you're doing yourself a disservice if you don't at least try and ask some questions to arguably, you know, one of the top two or three or four quarterbacks in the history
sure.
of the game.
Absolutely.
So for me, I tried to ask anything I could, and even if it's just about little stuff, you know, and he helped me a little bit. He gave a little bit and probably just the appropriate amount.
Yeah.
Matt, I had a chance to read the Sports Daily at Kansas City Star on Sunday, and the Chiefs said there was an article in there about the Chiefs losing the coin toss to the Falcons. Thomas Dimitroff wins the coin toss in 2008 at the Combine.
Yeah.
Remember, all three of those teams, the Raiders, the Chiefs, and the Falcons, had all gone 4-12, and there was a coin toss. And as it turned out, Thomas Dimitroff won the coin toss, and you were selected third overall. Do you ever reflect on what, you know, what might have been had you not gone – had that gone a different way, in a different city, or selected somewhere else, maybe four or five? You ever think about anything like that?
You know what? I hadn't really thought about the actual coin flip in probably 3 or 4 years. Well, really, since it happened. But I remember it being a pretty big deal at the time. It was at the Combine. They
right.
ended up doing the coin flip at the Combine. And... you know, I think I was asked the question about, you know, were you excited the Falcons won the thing? And I said something stupid, like tails never fails or something. So, something stupid like that. But the reason I'm telling the story is because every time that I've been a captain for the Falcons, I've caught tails pretty much every time we went out for the coin flip. And it's kind of just partly because
wow.
you never know how life's going to shake out and things change. For me, you know, that coin flip was instrumental in bringing me here to Atlanta.
And this was long after you had told your mom, after BC played here your senior year, that you thought Atlanta would be a great place to play.
Yeah, I mean, part of that, too, was we took it to the Jackets.
Yeah, 427.
Pretty good that night.
Yeah, yeah, thanks.
That was the night you were throwing it in the Coke bottle,
yeah.
as Wes
yeah,
remembers.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah, back shoulder to Brandon Robinson on the back pile line. Not that I remember anything.
Yeah, no, that was a good night for us. So that's probably why I said that.
Yeah.
But, no, I mean, it's just funny how things work
yeah.
out. And, you know, I couldn't be more happy to be here.
When you get into 5 years, and obviously you started your fifth season yesterday, do you have to take the first weeks? Have you taken them differently each year? Obviously winning yesterday, you won in 08, won in 09, tough losses in 10 and 11. You come back, get a win yesterday. Do you now handle the front end of a season differently in year five than you did in your first two, three, 4 years?
I think so. You know, I think one of the things I've learned is you have to pace yourself a little bit early on in training camp, and it's a long year. It really is. And so, you know, I think I'm better suited to get myself prepared during training camp to start fast and to be able to sustain that throughout the year. And I felt really, really good. You know, I really do. I feel really good heading into this season.
Well, after all, you've put on all this weight that everybody's
yeah,
doing.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Come on
much,
now. It's,
much bigger guy.
I mean, yeah, so,
yeah.
So much bigger. I mean.
That's why it's great we're doing radio. No one gets that.
Yeah. I mean. What? Has 6 pounds ever been discussed as much as this?
No, I know.
It's unbelievable, right?
I know. I constantly get asked about it. I just try to work a little harder. That's all.
When you look at this team coming in, Matt, and I know you've already turned that rock over and begun to look at them a little bit, your first impressions, I know there'll be a lot more scrutinizing over the tapes and start really honing in on what you think you might be able to attack, but what do you think of these guys right off the bat?
A solid defense. You know, and it's one of those schemes, you know, just looking at it briefly, having played against John Fox, you know, a bunch in Carolina and now with Jack Del Rio as their defensive coordinator. It's one of those schemes where they put their guys in good positions and they create good matchups for their players. I think, you know, personnel-wise, they've got two really good pass rushers in Doomerville and Von Miller. And I think we've just got to be aware of where they're at. I'm sure we'll have – you know, a good game plan to try and counteract what they're going to do. So, you know, it's a good defense.
Matt, you start looking at the way this season unfolds. I mean, you're going to find out about the AFC West pretty early, how you would fit in that league, obviously. But do you pay much attention to what's going on around the league early? I mean, look at these quarterbacks yesterday. RG3 goes off the hook yesterday.
Yeah, you know what? I saw some of the highlights on the flight home from Kansas City last night. Looked like he had a great game. Yeah. He's a talented guy. He really is a talented guy. And, you know, it's good he had that game against the Saints. You know, that's one of those things. In division, I mean, he really did. He played really, really well.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah, it's always enough said about the fact that he had a solid outing against the Saints and were able to come away with the win. I hear you on that. When you and this, I guess, goes along the same lines, how hard is it with all the media and everything that's going on, and you're involved, you do a little tweeting from time to time as well. How much do you block out, or do you worry about it, and do you have an ability to categorize all that stuff when you start getting ready?
Yeah, I try and block it out as much as you can. Like you said, though, I mean, it's everywhere these days, and I think you just have to take it with a grain of salt. You know, things you hear, things you see on TV, whatever it is, what people tweet, you can't worry about it. It has no bearing on you know, what happens on Sundays and in this case on Mondays. So I think that's one of the things, as you mature and you get more experience in this league, you stop worrying about all the other crap that goes into it.
Yeah, there is more to it, I guess, right?
Absolutely.
You find the balances, is it safer to say the further you move along in this, the balances kind of work their way into week preparation, off weeks, off season, in season kind of thing?
Absolutely. You know, I think one of the things I've learned is, you know, there's times where I really need to push myself and to work. But there's also times that you need to disconnect and you need to get away from it. You need to get away from sports, whatever it is, and find something to do other than, you know, hear about football, think football. Just find something that helps you relax. And, you know, I've got some of those things that, you know, help me get away from it and keep me mentally fresh. I think Bill Musgrave, who was here my first three seasons, really helped me with that. You know, that was one of his biggest things. Get to Sunday mentally and physically fresh, and you'll play good ball if you do that.
So how are those cooking classes going? They going pretty good?
Yeah. Cooking classes isn't one of the things.
Oh, it's
I
not? Oh, that's good news. Well, you do get the Buckhead Beef gift certificate as part of being in the spotlight. So
and Wes will cook if you provide the feed.
No, we just look forward to being a part of the Steaks and Chops and More. Thanks, as always, for the time. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, guys. Thanks
Matt
for
Ryan
having
with us here, the Coach's Show from Flowery Branch with Dave Archer, Wester. Thanks to everybody involved. Stay tuned on 790 The Zone. More Archer and Bell coming up till 6 o'clock.